I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to All Starts Aren't We, a podcast in which Leeds fans cast their combined eye over goings-on at Elland Road, giving scrutiny to the underlying statistics and tactical footings at work at Leeds United. I'm Martin Riley, and I'm joined today by Tom Hossie-Cundell. Tom, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you. We did have one more person lined up for today, and they've decided to go to the pub and sack us off. Apparently that's more important than you listeners, and we won't say who until it comes to a Patreon plug a little bit later.
Yes, we were both meant to be three of us, but just two. Bit of confusion. We'll give him a little bit of credit. There was sort of a half verbal agreement for someone else to cover it, so it's a bit of a confusion all around. But we are two fine men, and we will do a good job. So
definitely two fine young men.
We are indeed. And what have you had for tea?
I've had spaghetti bolognese. Will come as a shock to everyone. I've been running a little bit low on money the past few weeks with the other events and stuff, and all my food had basically ran out by Tuesday, so finally got paid yesterday and then instantly ordered a shop. And so the first thing that I did was, just as soon as the shop came, was like, right, get into that mince.
No, you do right. I had something quite similar with the base ingredients. I had a lasagna, but yeah,
that's on the plan. I've now also got my in this shop, I finally got myself a dish that I can cook lasagna in, after my ex took that when she left the house. So I finally got that. So I'm going to make some fresh pasta sheets and stuff, and probably do that some point early next week, I think.
Yeah, it's always a good one, is lasagna with some nice garlic bread. But we're not here to talk about food. We're here to talk about Huddersfield Town. But before we do that, I want to have a quick chat about the FA Cup game against Chelsea. We don't have time to do a full-on review of it, but we'll have a chat about it. So, were you able to watch the game live?
I watched it live while doing some other stuff. So it was on in the background. Found myself pausing some things that I was doing and watching for about 5 minutes, then coming back to it. Every time I looked up, I just thought Archie was having an absolute balling game.
Indeed.
Was essentially what I took from it. I didn't think we looked too bad in much in danger from Chelsea, which... you know, that's kind of been Chelsea's issue, maybe not looking, just being a bit too lethargic this season. I've seen and had some comments regarding Firpo's performance, but every time I saw him, he didn't look like he was doing too much too bad. The third goal, yeah, you know, he probably could be positioned better. He does have two players there on that side, and I think because he's also then watching Gallagher come in, I think really... I put that on Gray, but I think that's more down to Gray also possibly being absolutely shattered of him not being on the right side of Gallagher in that tracking. But that's about it. Otherwise, it was good. Joseph had a good game and stuff, and we pushed him, and that's good. And that's exactly what I wanted from the FA Cup match. I wanted us to... I won't say I wanted us to lose, but I think my ideal scenario for the rest of the season was put up a good performance and don't get hammered. And, you know, if we lose, it's a last-minute goal that, you know... We put up a good fight, and it's not too heartbreaking regarding momentum.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing I take about the most is the team we put out had a number of changes made to it. We were missing our two best attackers in Rutera and Somerville. And our standings did a very good job. Anthony, especially, had a very good game. And obviously, Joseph scoring his first two senior goals, which is, I'm so delighted for him because I'm a big fan of his. And I think this may be a bit of an impetus to maybe get him more first team minutes, maybe even some starts in the championship. But we'll see how that plays out. But overall, yeah, but very happy with the performance that we put out. A couple of individuals didn't perform necessarily great, but the trend for the opposition is you can't not take it into account because their front line was pretty much their normal line in the Premier League, and it's got a lot of talent in there, a lot of good international players who are worth a lot of money. So yeah, we can be proud of that performance, and it's one less game for us to play, especially since Leicester did go through the round, so that's an extra game for them and one less for us.
Yeah, I think if I saw right that it's going to be their Southampton game that's likely to be, which means a bit of disruption for both those teams, which can only help us at this point in the season, really.
Yeah, I thought that too. That is another good thing as well. So all little things can help on the way to the Premier League. But that's enough on Chelsea. Well, let's begin to Huddersfield, because you've spent a lot of time looking over Huddersfield recently, haven't you, Tom?
Yeah, I have. I knew that we had this game coming up, and I had an assignment at university that just paired hand in hand perfectly for this. So yeah, I've done a lot of Huddersfield watching and looking into them. And obviously, as soon as I picked Huddersfield to be the team that I was going to select, they sacked Darren Moore. And then the last game before we actually play them, they hired a new manager in Andre Breitenreiter.
Exactly. So it's been a bit of change recently for Huddersfield. Only what, about 10 days ago, was it, that he was appointed?
He was announced before the Hull game, I think the day before the Hull game, but then it was like Jonathan Worthington will take the Hull game still. And then so he's had a full week then with the game before the Watford game on Saturday, and then he's had a second week. So yeah, about 11, 12 days in the job, but announced like 13, 14 days ago.
Yeah, so that's a very big change for them. And what do you say their season's been like? So not very good, I'd say, overall. Not a lot of wins, a lot of draws from what I can see.
Yeah, I think if we go back to when we played them last time, they just hired Darren Moore, and it was kind of, oh, well, we're not losing as much now. You know, they had Warnock at the start of the season. They didn't think they were going to be in any danger of relegation. I think they thought that Darren Moore were going to quite solidify them once he got his foot like in the door properly, and that just really didn't happen. I think he got 3 wins in 23 games or something like that. And yeah, they're currently now 2 points above the relegation zone with an XG difference of minus 10. So they're not exactly performing great there. Or minus 11 even, really. It's 10.8. And their actual goal difference, minus 15. So yeah, it's not been a great start for them. Or a great season for them, should I say.
Yeah, exactly. And a few of the teams who are below them have got new managers recently as well, and they've had a bit of a manager bounce going, haven't they? I think QPR have done better since their new manager's come in. Sheffield Wednesday as well have had some improved results recently, so they really need to keep this going.
Yeah, I think the Sheffield Wednesday one for them is sort of like they were that bad at the start of the season that it's been so tough for them to get back, because I thought, oh, Sheffield Wednesday have turned the corner, they're going to be up there and staying up easily now with the way that they had been performing. Yeah, and then they're actually on 32 points and still like 4 points off getting out of the relegation zone. And Jonathan Worthington's first game as takeover was a 4-0 win for Huddersfield against Sheffield Wednesday. So Huddersfield are doing okay against the teams around them. Yeah, their recent form under Worthington was good. He got 2 wins and 2 draw and 2 losses. The losses came against Southampton and Hull, so they're obviously top 6 teams. They beat Sunderland 1-0, and that, according to the XG, was one which they should have won as well, 1.4 to 0.8. And yeah, they beat Sheffield Wednesday 4-0. And then in the most recent game, which was Andre Breitenreiter's first game, they beat Watford 2-1 away from home.
So yeah, so it was a great first result for the new manager, I must say, because Watford have been a bit up and down, but still a strong side in this division, I think. They've got a lot of good players in that squad. So yeah, that's a very good result for them. But now, talking away from the results, talking about how they set up in possession, obviously. So,
yeah.
How is it that they've been in the past few games, and or do you think they may change when Breton Wright has got a bit more time in the job?
Yeah, so I've basically watched I watched a game of Hoffenheim as well, which was Breton Wright's former team. So just as a bit of history, him and Farker have played each other as managers, have faced each other while in their previous jobs last season of Hoffenheim and Gladbach. Farker has a winning score of 7-2 against him of a 4-1 and a 3-1. So maybe Farker's already got the better of his system. I unfortunately couldn't find that game to watch. But yeah, getting into exactly what we should probably expect to see. In possession, his Hoffenheim team just look to get the ball forward as quick as possible. The first thought is go. Look to try and exploit wide areas. So you'll see the centre-backs trying to hit wide lines. And if they do put it out wide early on in deep build-up, then it'll be kind of, you know, that first ball forward, direct running. As soon as they've gathered the ball, they're looking to the next pass is forward. It's never back. It's forward, forward, forward. I think one of the attacks that I saw, it was kind of like a six-pass sequence and they got it from back to front in kind of 10 seconds or something like that, I think, with the timer on it. So it's going to be really direct from them. They're not going to try and hold on to the ball too much. We'll probably see, I'm expecting, that Kuroma will start again at nine. They played in a two in the last game of Bergzog and Kuroma, and they kind of alternated, but I think that was possibly due to Sauber Thomas's partner having a child, and so he last minute went back up to West Yorkshire to go and be there for the birth of his child. So I expect him to come back in, and yeah, what I'll expect to see is they'll kind of like, I expect, because I think Hogg's going to be injured too, so I think that we'll see like Matos and Radoni players, they're middle players, the central players, and when they've got it deep, they're going to probably split wide and try and create space in the middle, which is where what we'll see is Kuroma come deep into that space when the ball's played forward. And then Bergzog and Thomas, I expect to kind of try and aim and hit that space behind. Or you might even, if he controls it, Radoni might try and run off him and go direct. Radoni's a really good carrier of the ball. He's in the 86th percentile, according to FBref, so of the other 14 leagues that are at the top five, regarding his progressive carries and his ball carrying ability. And yeah, he loves to shoot from distance as well. So I think that the players are there for him to do the sort of thing that he wants to do. Looking at the way that they played against Watford, it looked like they took on some of his ideas pretty quickly.
That's good to see. So maybe an interesting game, see how we handle that directness, and especially when we are committing a lot of bodies forward, that will be an interesting battle. If they can get those players who can carry the ball on the ball quickly and get it to their front line fast, then it could be a difficult situation for us to handle, but we'll see how that goes. And how about when it comes to out of possession, how do you think they'll look to approach this game? Or how have they been? I think there have been many changes in that approach.
I think the only sort of change will be really how aggressive they are with their wing-backs and how the back three will set up in their formation. I'm expecting a back three. That's all that Andre Breton Wright has used in his career mainly. Probably I'd say 90% have been back three formations of 3-5-2 or 3-4-3. And that's actually how Huddersfield lined up against Southampton. So against the team most like us of the past five games. And they did some very similar things already. They were doing the man-to-man press, aggressive man-to-man press high up. The thing what Andre Breton Wright's Hoffenheim used to do was their left wing back and right wing back, which was Angelino on left, and I can't remember who the one on the right was, but they'd be really, really high. So they'd like, from goal kicks, you'd have the front three marking three defenders, being really tight. You'd have the 2-8s pushing up onto the midfielders, and then the fullbacks would be marked by the fullbacks, and you'd kind of have all these seven players just right up in there, and that left loads of space in behind because the back three would be really rigid and really narrow as well, so you'd have loads of space in the outside. And so what then becomes interesting is when you get past that, and the back three and back five, when they become a line in defence, they just will not drop into that box. They'll create a straight line across the edge of the area when the ball's being played in front of the box. And there's one clip from Hoffenheim where it's like the players drive into the box and the players just aren't moving. They're sticking on that line. They're not dropping at all. And I think that was also more really how Bremen played And so what I noticed in the Huddersfield game against Watford, when Watford tried to get wide to put a cross in, as soon as it kind of crossed over the other side of the half space, as it went into those sort of areas, they dropped the defenders then. And I think that looking at the goals that they conceded from in the Southampton game, okay, different sort of thing, different manager setup and instructions, but there's the possibility to pull those defenders out of possession when we've got possession and pull those centre-backs. I think they've got a tendency to get dragged out quite easily and be caught ball-watching. And yeah, I think that that's where we can hopefully get some freedom and get some success.
So regards to playing against us specifically, do you think it's likely that they would not use the fullbacks in quite as much as an aggressive way and maybe stick to just the front three and the midfields or putting pressure on us rather than a full seven, because that seems a bit suicidal against us?
Yeah, I think that's what you'd think they should do, but they did it against Watford, even when Watford have like some decent championship wingers, and they still kind of press quite high with their. I think there was one moment where Brodie Gilmore, I think I've heard good things about him from some Huddersfield fans, but I've spotted some stuff where he's maybe a bit too aggressive in his press, and so he gets caught out flat-footed, being a bit too flat against the player when he's gone to press them, and so he's dribbled past quite easily as well. And then he just got caught a bit high up for Watford's goal and then wasn't strong in the challenge either. And yeah, I think that they should probably try and make sure that he's deep, but I think that the instructions of being direct and trying to get forward as fast as possible could be the one which is more the overruling philosophy that Andre Brett and Ryo want to see.
That's very fair. So, regards to their squad overall, what you already mentioned a couple of the players. You mentioned Widone and Corona. Is there anyone else who we need to look out for in a good sense, and then also in a bad way, so that players that we can get at, kind of thing?
Yeah, so in a good sense, I think Bergzorg is quite a good player. He's another dribbly. I think him and Corona have kind of been there. Kind of creative players from ball carrying, really, as well, in attacking areas rather than progression. So he's meant to be quite good. And then Sauber Thomas as well, like he had a really good game against Southampton. His crosses from deep were really good. So he has been used as a wing back at some point this season. But I think that Kasumu, who has played there in the games which I've seen, I think he's probably likely to play it right wing back when it comes. But yeah, Sauber Thomas, it'll be a name that people have heard of before. Obviously, I think he's a Welsh international, and another one. And yeah, I think they're probably the players that I think their attacking players are the players that we need to watch. But I'm not 100% scared of them. I think Jack Redone is probably probably the best player there, kind of attacking prowess. And then yeah, defensively, as you also asked for, Tom Lees and Nakayama. I don't know Nakayama's first name, but they have the tendency to be caught ball watching, being dragged out, being a bit too aggressive and then leaving in loads of space in behind. And in a system like this where that edge of the box defending is so important, as soon as you pull out of that and you're leaving so much space then inside the box that can be exploited. And I think that that's just something we can probably get out. I've got a feeling that they can easily be enticed in. And then, you know, we've got, if you can entice him with one of Somerville, Nyonto or Rutter, and then you just play around them and the space is there for them to drive into. And I don't know if you did see the clip of the goal which Watford should have scored, where the right wing back, I can't remember which player it was, he got beaten a bit too easily, and then Matty Pearson, the other centre-back for Huddersfield, had to pull out, and it caused loads of space between the centre-backs. So this is kind of like where I'm thinking we can exploit the fact that they leave quite a bit of space, because then when the centre-backs have to spread and you isolate them, there's even more space to play through. And Tom Lee's got caught ball-watching, and I think it's Radjunovic for Watford, had a free header and he put it to the corner flag in real Steve Morrison style. If anyone gets to see that, it is one of the worst headers I've ever seen. It's like a defensive clearance header. And he's a striker on his own, unmarked, with like 5 meters on either side of him.
Fantastic. Yeah, so that definitely does sound like there's a lot of things that we can work with our front line to cause them problems. We would normally ask about the data of their season so far, but I'm not sure it really bodes much for this game, because obviously it's been a few different managers, so they're all over the place. But needless to say, there's a lot of things in there which is quite bad, would you say?
Yeah. And even just looking at like their past success rate from the previous game, they attempted 421 and succeeded 301. And the pass map of that, it's just kind of all from the edge of the box, just inside the box, going back out to the wings, attacking the wide areas as direct as they can. There's a lot of unsuccessfuls. And there's hard, they, I mean, I'm looking at it now, there's probably about 15 passes in the central zone in the opposition half. So, like, that is just going to be pure direct from that stats-wise with the passing, which I think their squad is built for.
Yeah. I think there's one thing I noticed, which I know I said I wasn't going to talk about data, but I've just noticed myself having a quick look. Their set-piece XG is pretty high for the division. They've got the fifth highest set-piece XG, and 11 goals scored from 11.14 XG. So a set-piece threat is always one which Leeds fans will be terrified by. So just keep an eye on set-pieces is probably what I'd say.
Yeah, and I don't know if they class as set-pieces, but I class them personally as set-pieces. Their two goals against Watford came from throwing kind of build-up. So they kept the possession after the throwing and then got a crossing and scored from that. And that reminds me of another player that I need to mention, actually. Because he's also a haunt of Leeds United. But yeah, and another thing that they did at Watford, they tried this little fancy free kick routine where they had two players in front of the ball kind of blocking the view. They rolled it back for Radoni. It looked like he was going to shoot, so it pulled out a man from the wall, but he actually then played it back out wide to one of them that ran down the wing, but then he overcooked his run, didn't take a good enough touch, and it just didn't work. So I think like one of the things that probably we do need, not just that they're good at set pieces, I think they're trying some different stuff now, so we have to stay awake at set pieces to make sure we're not caught out by something stupid. The goals against Watford were both scored by one player and one player only, and that is Danny Ward, who has caused us, who I think, and I've got a feeling, I might be wrong, it might be an FM haunt of mine, but I'm sure that he's scored goals against us before and been a bit of a nuisance. Yeah, I think he's quite a good aerial threat, and so their first goal came from actually a cross from Nakayama, who is their wide left centre-back in this game. It's a really good cross, actually, and then it's a really good header, but I think that we should just kind of like, if Danny Ward's on the pitch, you just make sure that Rodon's on him and it shouldn't be an issue for him.
Well, just looking at their goal scorers, Michael Hellick is their top scorer. And is he one of their centre-backs?
He is a centre-back who has been injured. According to the press conference today, he's been back in training and should be available for Sunday. I think there's a lot of calls for him to start in front of Lees because of he's got a bit more pace than Lees. I think Huddersfield fans really want Balkier, I think he's pronounced. They wish he was back because apparently he's like their fastest centre-back and really good centre-back. He's just had too many issues with injuries. So yeah, I think that it'll be interesting. I think Michael Hellick as well might have... Oh no, that was Michael Heffler that scored that goal against us, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was, yeah.
Michael Hellick. But yeah, if he's there, then that's obviously going to be another threat as well.
Yeah, he will definitely have to manage because I think he's their top scorer. He scored 8 goals and he scored those 8 goals from only 20 shots, which is just absurd. Really absurd.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's about it for the data side of things and set pieces. But before we move on to the Leeds part, how about the predicted lineup? What do you think it's going to look like?
Yeah, so as I said, I think we'll probably see a 3-4-3, Nichols in goal. Back three of Pearson, Lees or Hellick, as I just said, probably in the central position there, and then Nakayama. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Jonathan Hogg's not going to play because he's had back spasms all week. So I think it's one of those where he might actually never train ever, and then he just plays. I think that's the sort of state that Jonathan Hogg's in. So if he plays, it's probably going to be him and Radoni as the middle two. If he doesn't, it'll be Radoni and Matos. Which I think is the midfielder from Chelsea on loan, who potentially... I think it's going to be Radoni and Matos. Wing-backs will probably be Brody Gilmore and Kasumu, and then a front three of Bergzorg, Koroma, and Sorbert Thomas. with Kuroma more playing a false nine kind of role, really.
Yeah, good stuff. So that's everything for the Huddersfield part of this pod. So before we move on to the Leeds analysis, we're going to go for a quick break. But first, a little bit more about our Patreon, because if I didn't do it, Tom Alderson would murder me. But because he was the guy who missed out on this pod, yeah, I don't really care. But anyway, don't worry, patrons, you don't have to hear this bit. Patreon is a media platform where you can support content creators you enjoy and get extra content in return. Patrons get access for as little as $1.99 per month, which gives you ad-free podcasts. And if you want to pay a little bit more, you get other benefits, including early access to our preview pods, such as this one, analysis articles, videos, and bonus podcasts. So we've got three tiers. The variety tier for $1.99, which gives you ad-free podcasts. The click tier for $3.99, which gives you ad-free podcasts, as well as early access to our preview pods. And then the final tier, the best tier, because it's named after the one man himself, Pablo Hernandez, is $4.99. And for that one, you get everything from the two previous tiers, as well as all the rest of the stuff we do, the articles, videos, and bonus podcasts. So if that our patron wants, he wants to find where that is, where will they go, Tom?
They will go to patreon.com/ASAW, Patreon.
Fantastic. And now we'll move on to the Leeds part. But first, me and Hostie are going to swap roles, and Hostie's going to be the host for this one. So take it away, Tom Hostie.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, Tom Hostie here. Oh god, my mum would kill me now. So let's just start with a little bit of news. Injuries, so some good news in the presser. Rute and Bamford were in training. There's a late call on Ilya Gruev, and obviously the confirmed injured is Stroik, and yeah, he's somewhere. He's probably in Dallas just being, yeah, so Stuart Dallas is, he might as well be in Dallas. So how are we feeling about that injury news?
Well, I'm glad that obviously my boy Rute is fit and in training, and obviously Paddy B is always the guy who we want to be playing at the moment because he makes our front line work so much better when he's in. So yeah, very good news on them. It's going to be interesting to see what would happen if Ilya Gruev is not fit for this one, because it could have some interesting things happen, and we may see like first league start by Sean Roberts maybe. If he could come in for him, and Gray could play midfield, especially after how well he did in the cup against Chelsea. Leeds fan hub wanting to see a bit more of that. But it's also possible that Ampadu could stay in midfield. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting things with this game, I think.
Yeah, so I guess kind of this question varies depending on what we've just said as well, but how do you think we'll approach the game in possession?
Most likely be quite similar to the way that we normally do. Depends on how Huddersfield approach this game as well. That could interrupt the way we approach the game in possession. If they do go with quite a high press, there could be more space for us to attack more directly. So if that's the case, I would expect us to try more direct balls to wide spaces, especially like you mentioned earlier about them being a lot of space in those wide channels when they do commit their fullbacks forward. So if that is something that they do and there is that space there, I would expect it to be a little bit more direct than normal to take advantage of that. But other than that, we will still look to attack in transition and get our attacking players on the ball quickly when Huddersfield do commit men forward. And we will look to possess the ball, and I probably would expect us to possess quite a high percentage of this game, position-wise. You said that they like to possess the ball too much, so I would expect us to be quite ball dominant. But largely, I think we will still be just what we're used to from this season under Daniel Farke.
Yeah, I think by what I meant was, like, if Bamford's there, then that direct option's probably going to work a bit better for us. If Bamford's not there, then we probably have to try and look at a way of working around the press from deep and beating it, which is probably where then, you know, having, I mean, I know that Groove and Kamara are good. I guess my worry is the next question for if it is Kamara and Gray, which is how do you expect us to approach this game out of possession?
The midfield pairing does make a bit of a difference to how we approach this. And I wonder which one of the two, if it was Kamara and Gray who were in midfield, which one of the two would be the more advanced? Because he actually is probably the better one to be playing the more advanced midfield role, I would say. But also Kamara is also probably the one who has been really effective, especially being the link-up guy between midfield and attack. So it's going to be interesting how that will play out. But I would still expect us to be quite aggressive in possession, no matter what personnel we have. Archie will be very good playing that midfield role, putting pressure up on their midfielders when they have the ball. But I would probably expect them to not really entertain our press too much and probably go quite direct and try to bypass it that way. But we do definitely have players who we can put pressure on, and I don't see too many confident ball players in their backline. You've watched them a bit more than me, but what do you think on that?
Yeah, I've not seen anything from the back three that they've got that I've seen. But obviously, like I said, the Helix coming back, I'm not entirely sure how, if he's a bit better on the ball. And then, yeah, they've got a left wing back called Jones. I think he's another young kid, and when he was on against Southampton, he was just pressed and just panicked, and it was very, very hard watch. I felt really sorry for him. But yeah, I think, like we said, they're going to go quite direct, so we've just got to make sure that we don't get caught up in being dragged around too much by their movement of them dropping deep. I think one of the things that will help us with the way that they play is Rodon and Cooper or Ampadu, whichever centre-backs will be, as long as they don't get dragged by Karoma and don't let that space be created behind them, we'll be okay. I think that's the key out-of-possession thing for me. Obviously, I think we will probably press and step on them a bit in defence, because I don't think they are that good at playing it quickly. I think what they'll do is they'll go back and then try and just go forward as quick as they can. I think they're probably likely not to give us time to press. So yeah, and so do you think that, given everything that we've said, there's going to be any players that will have a big impact on the outcome of this game from Leeds? Again, this can be good or bad.
I think the biggest one will be our attacking lineup, because I think we're going to have quite a bit of joy in areas, especially if they do try to commit players forward into a high press. Musta should be very good at getting into that space, and so should both whoever is our wide men for this one, whether it will be James on the right or Nonto on the right. Well, so they will excel in this game, I think. But I think possibly James may be the better option in this game. That's something I would ever thought me saying. But true, he's got a lot of pace to him, and if we want someone who's more direct to bypass their admittedly quite slow climb, that could be a very good option for us to try to look to get him involved. And he can have a really good game, I think, for our feeling. And then the other battle will be in midfields. You mentioned one of their midfielders is quite efficient at carrying ball. Which one was it?
That one's Jack Radoni.
Radoni, that's it. So yeah, we'll have to be very aware of that, and whoever is playing in midfield will have to make sure they are really tight on him and getting the ball off him as soon as he does try to carry the ball forward and break through our lines. So it's just something to be aware of for our midfield players, that they will have to be on the best of their game, and I have faith that they will, because they've felt off very good players, especially if Archie is playing. He did a job against a very expensive midfield at Chelsea with Caicedo and Hernandez. So,
yeah, there was one moment where he was in a battle with Caicedo in the middle of the pitch, and the ball was bouncing, and he just sort of like did sort of like the Nonto touch against Plymouth, where we asked like, did he mean the touch or not? But he did that around Caicedo and then out-muscled Caicedo and played the pass, and I was just like,
I know
what is going on. Yeah. So yeah, any players that you're worried about and their performance and who they'll be up against?
I'm not sure. It depends who is playing in our back line. So we're aware of Firpo's deficiencies when it comes to defending, and they do have a number of players in their front line who can carry the ball well. So that would be one potential banana skin which we can avoid if possibly Byron comes back into this game. And I know I think he's fit at the moment. I'm not sure. Well, he on the bench against Chelsea? I should have.
I don't think he was. I feel like Shackleton was meant to start at left back. That's what Farker said. I don't think Byron was on the bench. I can't quite remember. I think Kasumu and Thomas could possibly cause Firpo some problems if they can double up on him to get round him. And then, depending on if it's Cooper, I think he should be fine in this game, especially with his ability on the ball while they're playing in a high press. I think it will probably work fine for us when we're in possession. Out of possession could be a different matter as long as he's not caught too much on the back foot, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I'd probably agree with that. Those are two areas which aren't special with the injuries that we potentially have with if Groove is injured and we are maybe putting Ampadu back into midfield to cover that, or this depends what Farkin goes for. If he feels Roberts did a good enough job against Chelsea, then maybe he gets no start. But we're probably moving into the predicted lineup now, so maybe I should just go into that.
Yeah. I was about to say, do you want to hazard a guess at what it's going to be, seeing as how it does seem like one which could be quite complicated?
Yeah, so obviously it'd be Melier in goal, and the Roden will definitely be in centre-back, and I want to say that Robert will be at right-back, and Ampadu will be joining Roden at centre-back, and I'm probably going to say it'll be third poker, mainly because I don't know if Barham is fit or not. But if Barham is fit, then I think he may start. Thurville's played a lot of games recently, and it's only so long before he breaks. We know this. So if he's fit, I would say maybe Barham may start. And midfield, Gray and Tamara, if Groove isn't fit. So it's a few things that have changed in this, and it could be well be totally different to this. And then the front line, I would expect it to be Somerville, Routere, Bamford, and I'm going to say Nonso, mainly because James started in the club, and I think that was because he wanted to play Nonso in this game, so I'll say Nonso. But this could be totally different because Bamford may not be ready to play from that, so he may be on the bench. And if that happens, I'm not sure what will happen in that scenario as well, because Matteo Joseph put in a very, very strong case for him starting in this game over Perot. I think Perot had a good game against Chelsea. He definitely struggled with the physicality of their midfield players and a bit of a mismatch, whereas Joseph competed really well and got two goals. So it wouldn't surprise me if Bamford is injured or not in the start, at least Joseph could get his first championship start. What do you think?
I get the feeling, and this is based on how I think Huddersfield will line up, and so I think that we need to try and combat maybe just that directness and breaking. So like one of the things is making sure that like our rest defence is pretty good and at it. And I've just got a feeling that Akamara and Gray is probably a bit too, they're not as competitive as Ampadu is and Groove. So if it's Groove who's out, then I'll probably say that it'll be Gray at right back. Obviously Melier in goal. And I'll probably say go with Rodon, Cooper, Firpo or Byron, I'm not entirely sure. And that's a cop out, obviously. Probably if Byron's fit, then I'd say go Byron, but if he's not fully fit, then I'd say start him for 60 and then bring on Firpo, sort of thing, is probably what I'd look at doing if he can get through it. And then Ampadu and Kamara, I'd probably bring Ampadu back into the midfield just to add that bit of solidity of clearing up on counters and fast transition we're looking to try and utilise. And then, the front four, the only one that I can pick is Somerville and Routere for the same reasons that you were saying. I see plus points for both Dan James and Nyonto, because I think Nyonto will be able to, on the dribble, get past their left wing back and cause some issues for the centre-backs. I think Dan James will be able to just skin them with pace once he's got some open space out there. But that only really probably comes into effect too much if it's Bamford up front, I think, is the only time when we might get that James plus side from it. So I think that depends on... So if we end up going with Perot, I'd probably say put Nonto on the right. And if we go with Bamford, I'd probably say go with James. Yeah, the one thing I'll note on something with Joseph's performance last night as well that I noticed was, as good as his like finishing was and his attacking play, there were moments where I felt he could have moved into a space to link up play, and he just seemed to shy away from that a little. But hopefully that'll come potentially. And so, yeah, what are you expecting this game of football to look like?
So it's definitely going to have a chaotic start feel. I think no matter what, I think Huddersfield probably will come out quite aggressively in the start of the game. I think they'll will look to press us and try to get an early goal in the first 15 minutes, try to put us on the back foot. But I think if we can ride through that, we should settle into this game nicely and be able to possess the ball quite a lot. I think we should be able to play through their press as well if they do attempt it. We have done very well against a few presses, and even against Chelsea, their press was pretty high in the first half, and I don't think we did a too bad job of managing it. And they struggled more with our press than we did. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if we do get bypass that high press, if we do go for it from the start, we could well get an early-ish goal because of that. If they do leave a lot of space behind in that high press, I think I would say there'll be a goal in the first half either way. But I'm not sure who. We'll have to see how that part of it goes and how aggressive Huddersfield do come at us in this game.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to see us try and pull their press so that we can exploit it. I think really the best presser that they've got, as weird as this will sound to some people, considering what I've said about him earlier on, is Jonathan Hogg. He's really good at snapping in to that press and winning the ball back. But everyone else is just kind of like, they're good at following the ball, but they're not quite good at timing when to actually do the, like, try and instigate the tackle and winning the ball back. So yeah, I think we'll probably look to bait that and create what we've started to call like artificial transitions. Whereas they're gonna look to go straight into transition as fast as they can. There'll be no sort of like where we might win the ball back and it looks like we should go and attack straight away. And we've all said this before, and what our team does is we might recycle it back and just make sure we've got control of possession and we know where everyone is and it's calm. They will not do that. They will go, okay, where's this first forward pass? Oh, right, yeah, let's go there now. Even like I said, Jack Redone is a good player on the ball for Huddersfield Town, and you see him in the middle saying, don't give it to me, I'm not direct enough, go down the line, further, quicker, let's go. And he wants to like get the ball at the edge of the box and shoot, basically, that's why. So he's like, don't give it me here. But yeah, I think it's going to be one of those where they're going to really come at us, like you said. I think I'm going into the next question, so I'll wait until you've answered it, and I'll go into what I was about to say. So where do you think the game will be won or lost, Martin?
I think a lot of it will be down to how we handle their threats and how we play through it and exploit the space that they will leave behind with that. And if we do manage to play through it well and exploit that space and get our good attacking players on the ball quickly and attacking their back line, then we should have a lot of joy in that. And that will be a big reason why we will be able to win if that does take place. However, if it doesn't and we do struggle with their press and maybe give them the ball in dangerous positions when we're in the middle of transition, then that could definitely spell bad things for us away from home in the derby. That would spell it trouble if we did concede an early goal thanks to a poor transition. So, yeah, that's probably what I would say is mainly their press and how well we deal with it.
Yeah, I think there's two things for this. It's probably the first 15 minutes because I think both teams are really going to go for it. Obviously, where the top scorers are within that time frame. And I think under this new way of playing and the way that I think Andre Redenright has been talking, he's kind of been talking about this game before the Watford game and really kind of bigging it up, trying to really get the fans on side quickly with that. So I think the team will be really fired up. So I think that first 15 minutes is going to be frenetic. And so I think that could be where the game is won or lost. And then, as you say, it's probably how well they execute their out of possession structure. Because if they don't execute it well and they try and do what I think they're going to try and do, we're going to pull them to shreds. But if they execute it well, it's going to probably cause us some issues. So yeah, and obviously we don't do prediction. So that means I've not done a preview for a while, I don't think, because this feels weird finishing like this. But I think we're done, Martin. So just a quick reminder, I know I said it earlier, but
it's
what's the Patreon website again?
/ASAW Patreon.
That's the one. Right. We'll be back with a review of this game, the Huddersfield game. And I think we're hoping to record that on Sunday. It's a lunchtime kickoff, don't forget. And there are no trains. There's no train stopping in Huddersfield train station on Saturday from Leeds. Yeah. Good luck to everyone who is going. But all that's left for me to say
thank you
to Martin. And thank you. No thank you, Tom Alderson. No thank you to you. But thank you, dear listener. Tot ziens.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.